Please turn with me to our text for this evening, to Psalm 74. We continue in our study of the Psalms. Psalm 74. Muscle of Asaph. O God, why hast thou cast us off forever? Why doth thine anger smoke against the sheep of thy pasture? Remember thy congregation which thou hast purchased of old, the rod of thine inheritance which thou hast redeemed, this Mount Zion wherein thou hast dwelt. Lift up thy feet unto the perpetual desolations, even all that the enemy hath done wickedly in the sanctuary. Thine enemies roar in the midst of thy congregations. They set up their ensigns for signs. A man was famous according as he had lifted up axes upon the thick trees, but now they break down the carved works thereof at once with axes and hammers. They have cast fire into thy sanctuary. They have defiled by casting down the dwelling place of thy name to the ground. They said in their hearts, "Let us destroy them together." They have burned up all the synagogues of God in the land. We see not our signs. There is no more any prophet, neither is there among us any that knoweth how long. O God, how long shall the adversary reproach? Shall the enemy blaspheme thy name forever? Why withdrawest thou thy hand, even thy right hand, pluck it out of thy bosom? For God is my King of old, working salvation in the midst of the earth. Thou didst break the sea by thy strength. Thou breakest the heads of the dragons in the waters. Thou breakest the heads of the Leviathan in pieces, and givest him to be meat to the people inhabiting the wilderness. Thou didst cleave the fountain and the flood. Thou driest up mighty rivers. The day is thine, the night also is thine. Thou hast prepared the light and the sun. Thou hast set all the borders of the earth. Thou hast made summer and winter. Remember this, that the enemy hath reproached, O Lord, and that the foolish people have blasphemed thy name. O deliver not the soul of thy turtle dove unto the multitude of the wicked. Forget not the congregation of thy poor forever. Give respect unto the covenant, for the dark places of the earth are full of the habitations of cruelty. Oh, let not the oppressed return ashamed. Let the poor and needy praise thy name. Arise, O God, plead thy own cause. Remember how the foolish man reproacheth thee daily. Forget not the voice of thine enemies. The tumult of those that rise up against thee increases continually. Amen. Now Psalm 74 is a psalm of Asaph. Who is Asaph? Well, we normally think of Asaph as Asaph the seer, who is spoken of in 2 Chronicles chapter 29 verse 30, which reads, "Moreover, Hezekiah the king and the princes commanded the Levites to sing praise unto the Lord with the words of David and of Asaph the seer." What is Asaph? Was a descendant of Gershom, the son of Levi. He was a contemporary of David. At the time when the Ark of the Covenant was being brought back to Jerusalem, he was appointed by the chief Levites as a leading singer. He was to sing with cymbals accompanying. And David later made him a leader of the choral worship. However, Psalm 74 appears to refer to a time when the temple was destroyed by the enemies of God. You read that from verse 3 to verse 7. The first time that the temple was destroyed was in 586 BC, more than 400 years after the ark was brought back to Jerusalem. What then? Well, it is possible that Asaph the seer was writing prophetically about the destruction of the temple even before the temple was built. But this is quite unlikely. More probably, this Asaph refers to a member of the musical company or musical guild that descended from Asaph. And this is the group that's known as the Sons of Asaph in 1 Chronicles 25. This Asaph must have written this psalm sometime after 586 BC, perhaps some months after Jeremiah died or after he was carried away to Egypt. He says in verse 9, there is no more any prophet, neither is there among us any that knoweth how long. Our Asaph was perhaps standing by the ruins of the temple, recalling the days when the Babylonians came to strip the cedar paneling and carvings of the temple, and then how they threw fire into the temple to burn up the rest of the temple which they could not plunder. As tears streamed down his eyes, he began to sing these words, as he's inspired by the Spirit of Christ. As Andrew Bonar puts it beautifully, the head of the church who wept over Jerusalem on the Mount of Olives and lamented their too sure ruin could use these strains and pour them into the Father's ears. And so too, all of us may sing this psalm to lament how sin has brought destruction, not only to the church of old, but to the church in our own time. We can sing it in union with our Lord, in recognition of how sin has brought shame and dishonor to his name and to the Father's name. We may entitle this psalm "The Lamentation and Plea of the Saints for the Church." Well, it has four parts. The first part, verse 1 to verse 3, is a call unto the Lord to remember his people. The key phrase is, "Remember thy congregation," verse 2. The second part, verse 4 to verse 11, is a description of the present desolation. The key phrase is in verse 10, "O God, how long?" The third part, verse 12 to verse 17, is a declaration of the power of God. The key phrase is in verse 12, "God is my King of old." And the fourth part, from verse 18 to the end, is a plea to the Lord to defend his own name. Here the key phrase is in verse 22, "Arise, O God, plead thine own cause." Here then are the four parts. First, remember thy congregation. This psalm, as I mentioned, must have been penned as the psalmist beheld the desolation of the land. Perhaps the smoke was still rising from the houses that were burned down. The people who were left alive were scattered and terrified. The fields that used to be covered with beautiful flocks were barren, with a few frightened sheep huddled by the corner. Could this pathetic sight have given rise to the opening words of this psalm? "O God, why hast thou cast us all forever? Why doth thine anger smoke against the sheep of thy pasture?" But Israel is no ordinary people. They belong to the Lord. They were purchased at a great price. Has the Lord forgotten? Verse 2, remember thy congregation, which thou hast purchased of old, the rod of thine inheritance which thou hast redeemed, this Mount Zion wherein thou hast dwelt. Lift up thy feet unto the perpetual desolations, even all that the enemy hath done wickedly in the sanctuary. Israel of old was, as it were, purchased and redeemed out of slavery from Egypt. She was made the rod or the tribe of Jehovah's inheritance. She was appointed the dwelling place of God. Will not the Lord remember Israel? Would not the Lord lift up his feet to step into the land to see the destruction and the desolation that the enemies of his have poured upon the land, and especially upon the sanctuary, the temple of God? Today, the Israel of God is likewise purchased and redeemed out of the bondage of Satan. We have been redeemed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have been made the dwelling place of God, for we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And look, do we not see how the Israel of God today is suffering much desolation and destruction too? Churches that are faithful to the word are few and troubled and struggling with many difficulties. Churches that have departed from the truth appear to be fat and flourishing. Has God forgotten? No. No, no. God does not forget. But perhaps we have forgotten to pray as the psalmist would teach us to pray. Remember thy congregation, O Lord. Remember thy congregation, O Lord. Behold the desolation that thy enemy has wrought. Remember, O Lord, thy redeemed people for the sake of Christ, who shed his blood on the cross of Calvary to redeem them. And let us not allow ourselves to grow sorry about the situation, or to become merely pathetic about it. But let us rather learn to cry unto the Lord. How long? As the psalmist teaches us to do in verse 4. Thine enemies roar in the midst of thy congregation. They set up their own signs for signs. A man was famous according as he had lifted up axes upon the thick trees, but now they break down the carved works thereof at once with axes and hammers. The Babylonian soldiers must have roared and laughed as they stripped the temple of God of their cedar carvings and the gold. And they congratulate one another for how well they were dismantling the temple of God. What a contrast with the days when brave men were applauded for how they were able to cut down huge trees for the temple of the Lord. But not satisfied with plundering the temple, they set it on fire and tore it down. Verse 7, they have cast fire into thy sanctuary. They have defiled by casting down the dwelling place of thy name to the ground. They said in their hearts, let us destroy them together. They have burned up all the synagogues or the meeting places of God in the land. We see not our signs. There is no more any prophet, neither is there among us any that knoweth how long. So tireth was their work of destruction, that every meeting place which God used, or God's people used, were burned down and destroyed. Not just the temple, but other meeting places. So vehement they were against God. The symbols of the faith, or the signs of the faith, were destroyed. The prophets and teachers were killed or exiled. There was no one left who could say how long this humiliation would last. Verse 10, O God, how long? How long shall the adversary reproach? Shall the enemy blaspheme thy name forever? Why withdrawest thou thy hand, even thy right hand, pluck it out of thy bosom? It is not wrong to ask the Lord, how long? Oh no, we are not expecting an answer in words. When we ask how long, we are essentially expressing our desire that God would soon intervene. For you see, we must not get used to the destruction and desolation. We must not see all these things happening and get so used to it that we just lay aside and become apathetic. But rather we must desire for the day of deliverance. And so we cry, how long? How long, O Lord? And as we cry, how long, O Lord, with the psalmist, we cry out with the Apostle Paul, Maranatha, come quickly, O Lord. Come and vindicate thy name. Pluck out thy right hand, the right hand of thy power, from thy bosom to intervene for thy people. God is able to do exceedingly above what we can think or imagine, for He is our King. Or as the psalmist says in the third part of this psalm, God is my King of all. Verse 12, for God is my King of all, working salvation in the midst of the earth. Thou didst divide the sea by thy strength. Thou breakest the heads of the dragons in the waters. Thou breakest the heads of the Leviathan in pieces and gavest them to be meat to the people inhabiting the wilderness. Thou didst cleave the fountains and the flood. Thou driest up mighty rivers. The day is thine, the night also is thine. Thou hast prepared the light and the sun. Thou hast set all the borders of the earth. Thou hast made summer and winter. Nothing is impossible with God. He is the King, the Creator, and the Redeemer. He is the Governor of all things upon the earth. Notice the eightfold Thou. Thou. Thou didst divide the sea. Thou didst break the head of the dragons. Thou didst break the heads of the Leviathan, etc., etc. All things that come to pass upon the earth comes to pass according to the sovereign providential power of God. The great Leviathan or the dragons or the dinosaur might inspire the imaginations of men because of their strength and their sheer size, but they are nothing in the hand of God. Even the mighty rivers and the seas belong to the Lord. Even the sun and the moon, and the day and the night, and the seasons are in the control of God. All things in the universe are ordered by God's power for the salvation of His people. God, of course, knows all that. But in prayer, God is glorified when we appeal to His power and sovereignty. Such is the argument for the petition in the last part of this psalm, which is, arise, O God, plead thy own cause. Verse 18. Remember this, that the enemy hath reproached, O Lord, and that the foolish people have blasphemed thy name. When the Babylonians desecrated the temple of God, they blaspheme the name of the Lord. Today, when avowed atheists, that is the foolish people, and those of false religion speak evil of the word of God and of God's people, they blaspheme the name of God. when the name of God is blasphemed, then the people of God would inevitably suffer mockery and injustice. And so we must appeal to the compassion of the Lord for his people. Verse 19, deliver not the soul of thy turtle dove unto the multitude of the wicked. Forget not the congregation of thy poor forever. Have respect unto the covenant, for the dark places of the earth are full of the habitations of cruelty. Oh, let not the oppressed return ashamed. Let the poor and needy praise thy name. The Lord is a loving and compassionate God. He will not sit idly while his covenant people are being persecuted or taken advantage of by the world. But let us also not forget to appeal to the Lord to vindicate his own name. For remember that the blessedness of the people of God is very much tied to the glory of God's name in the world. So let us cry with the psalmist, verse 22. Arise, O God, plead thine own cause. Remember how the foolish man reproaches thee daily. Forget not the voice of thine enemies. The tumult of those that rise up against thee increases continually. Is it not true that the tumult of those who rise up against the Lord is increasing continually? Year by year we see atheists and those who care not for the Lord or his law or his people getting louder and louder in their opposition of God and his ways. Today they will go about proclaiming. It used to be the Christians go about telling people about God, calling people to repent of their sin. Today, those who avow themselves to be atheists buy up big advertisement space to tell the world there probably is no God, because they can't strike God off completely from their heart. There's no true atheist. But they want the world to doubt God. And you take any government who try to introduce ideas that are biblical into the syllabus of the schools to the court. They do all things louder and louder they are getting. We see in this land more and more. We see in the Western nations, some of which were formerly Christians. Today you have a Unitarian as a president of the United States. Year by year, we see Christian influences being eroded. An evolutionistic humanism beginning to sway the entire populations of people, so that people began to think, in relative terms, what is right, what is wrong. If the world says it's wrong, it must be wrong. It doesn't matter what the word of God says. If the world says it's right, it must be right. It doesn't matter what the world says. What the word of God says. The tumult of those that rise up against thee increases continually. Shall we not cry unto the Lord, arise, arise to plead thine own cause? For he alone can put a stop to the rapid declension of society and the desecration of his name throughout the world. My beloved brethren and children, this psalm contains an urgent prayer. The church that would not pray as the psalmist would teach us to pray must be blind to what is happening in the world. But this psalm also encourages us to trust in the Lord. In the midst of the ruin and destruction, to the signs and symbols and doctrine of God throughout the land, throughout the world, let us remember to turn our eyes to the Lord, to remember that He is King of all and remains King. Let us learn to trust Him, knowing that He is unchanging and omnipotent. He will in His own time arise for our deliverance and vindication. He will rise to plead His own cause. Only let us remember to pray. For He has appointed that His church should see and should pray. It pleases the Lord often to vindicate His own name, to vindicate His people in answer to the prayers of His people. May the Lord help us. Amen. Let us sing this song. Psalm 74. Let's sing from verse 1 to verse 3, and then from verse 20 to the end. So the first part, verse 1 to 3, and then verse 20 to the end.
To against thee rise.
Amen. Shall we enter into a season of prayer and invite Brother Tiam Chai to begin? Brother Chin, Deacon Moses, Brother Gideon, Brother Linus, and Elder Mike.